In the Gospel of St. John this morning, we read, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen." When our Lord looked from the mountain upon the crowd that had followed him into the desert, he came down and received them very kindly. He taught them and healed their sick. And he did this all the way until evening. At that point, the apostles encouraged our Lord to dismiss the crowds and to go and get himself something to eat. Take care of yourself. But our Lord, he couldn't think of himself. His only thought was of those poor people who had followed him for so long a time, clear out into the desert, who had nothing to eat. A conversation ensues between our Lord and Saint Philip. "Where are we going to get bread for so many people?" And our Lord just says, "Sit them down, Philip." Our Lord, it says, then looked up to heaven, and giving thanks to God the Father, asked him to multiply the loaves. He then blessed what little loaves they had and distributed them, miraculously multiplying the loaves during their distribution so that they could feed, with only those few loaves and a couple of fish, 5,000 men, and then the women and children on top of it. Saint Francis of Assisi did a very similar thing in his lifetime. There was a convention of the Friars Minor, and there were many friars around, but they didn't have any food to eat. So Saint Francis, with his great faith and confidence, he said, "Let us go, brothers, and pray to Almighty God who satisfied 5,000 men besides women and children in the desert. After all," he said, "his power and mercy are no less now than they were then." They continued in prayer for quite a while, and when they had felt confident that their prayer would be heard, they then all marched into the refectory and sat down, even though nothing was prepared. But miraculously, 20 young men, they say of noble appearance, came and served them bread and wine and all sorts of delicious food, and then quietly they left, two by two. I think it was the angels. But a very similar thing happened also to Saint Dominic. No food was in the house whatsoever, but nonetheless he told all of the other religious to sit down at the table as if there were food. He then blessed the empty table, and immediately, it says, angels came down from heaven and placed a beautiful white loaf of bread before each of the 100 men that were there. What a consolation it must have been for the people in the desert to see how Christ provided for them, to see that he really did care. Or for Saints Francis and Dominic to see how the angels were sent by God to supply for their needs. One of the things that an angel does is to console the afflicted, the weary, the sorrowful, the struggling. In fact, Saint John Bosco says, "All you have to do is ask your angel to console you," he says, "especially in your last moments." But what does it mean to console someone? I think in our modern days we have a wrong idea of what it means to console or be consoled. Many of us have the idea that somehow to console someone means to make them feel good, to make them feel better. And so in attempting to console someone in suffering, We often hide the truths from them that could otherwise be beneficial to them in order simply to make them feel better. This is not, in the true sense of the word, consolation. Similar words to console would be to encourage, or even better, to fortify, to strengthen. A perfect example of what true consolation is found in St. Gabriel the Archangel's visit to our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. After the Last Supper was over, when our Lord came to the entrance of the garden, he told 8 of the 11 disciples to wait at the entrance and to pray lest they enter into temptation. But then only 3 of them, Peter, James, and John, would be permitted to see him suffer and to really witness the tempest that raged in the Sacred Heart during this mystery. Our Lord was so filled with sadness and fear that Scripture tells us a moan of anguish escaped his lips. "My soul is sorrowful even unto death." Once and then again, our Lord prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup, this chalice, pass away from me, yet not as I will, but as thou willest." And a third time he went to pray. His friends had not been much help in his agony. His soul was now so filled with anguish, and his heart was sort of torn with conflicting emotions, so much that he broke out in a sweat of blood, and the blood flowed down his face and soaked his garments and soaked the ground. His wish to avoid having to drink from that chalice of suffering was a true wish. He meant it. But as his will was always the same as the Father's, it was conditional. "If," he says, "it is possible, yet not my will, but thine be done." And the Father, although he gives to his Son the chalice, would not abandon him. Instead of removing the chalice, he sent the angel Gabriel. Gabriel means the strength of God. An angel who, again, would not take away the chalice, but who would encourage, strengthen, fortify our Lord himself to drink that chalice to the dregs. And so, strengthened and consoled by the visit of one of his creatures, the King of Angels, our Lord Jesus Christ, rose courageously from his prayer and immediately went out to meet his enemies, saying to the apostles along the way, "Rise, let us go. Behold, he who betrays me is at hand." That is the result of true consolation. And so, similarly, the Catholic Church, knowing that you and I have followed Christ out into the desert this Lent and are growing quite tired, perhaps even faint-hearted with all the sufferings of life and the sacrifices of Lent, well, the Church seeks to console us, not by taking away our chalice, but by encouraging us so that we have the strength to renew our fervor and continue on for the second part of Lent. In the Introit, the Church says a beautiful prayer: "Rejoice exceedingly, you who have been in sorrow, that you may leap for joy and be satiated with comfort." In the Collect, which always prays for a special grace for each one of our souls, and it's a very powerful prayer, In today's collect, the church acknowledges that we do in fact deserve all of the penances we're getting, but then actually asks for our consolation. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we who are justly afflicted according to our demerits may be relieved by thy comforting grace. But there is nothing more consoling than what is taught in today's Holy Gospel. The Gospel reminds us of the goodness of our blessed Lord, who, by multiplying the loaves and the fish, imparted strength to his followers to continue their journey through the desert. This miracle is a symbol, a prefiguration of the miracle that takes place in the Mass, that is, the Blessed Sacrament, the true body, blood, soul, and divinity of our blessed Lord. The Blessed Sacrament, God among man, is truly the greatest consolation on the face of the earth. Padre Pio said, "We must always have courage, and if some spiritual languor comes upon us, let us run to the feet of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and we will undoubtedly regain our strength." But if adoration of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament restores our courage and our strength, what will not Holy Communion do when our poor, wretched, weak soul is, think of it, united really and truly to the divinity of Christ? Saint Jerome says, "If Christ did not want to dismiss the Jews without food in the desert for fear that they would collapse on the way, it was to teach us that it is dangerous to try to get to heaven without the bread of heaven." Have you ever noticed how St. Thomas Aquinas, he wrote pretty much the whole liturgy of Corpus Christi, how he calls the Blessed Sacrament the bread of angels? And why does he do that? After all, the angels don't receive this sacrament because Maximilian Kolbe, although not a saint, a very holy man, said, "If angels could be envious of men, they would be so for one reason only, Holy Communion." Man, this is what it means, according to St. Thomas, why it's called the bread of angels. Man, on earth, is allowed to feast on Christ by faith and the desire for union with Christ in Holy Communion, while the angels in heaven, they feast on the vision of Christ in the beatific vision and are perfectly united to him by charity or sanctifying grace. And that is the very bread that we hope for in heaven. In other words, Holy Communion is a means to an end. Its reception is ordered to the enjoyment of heaven. On earth, we receive Christ in the sacrament so that in heaven we may feast on Christ, not sacramentally anymore, but that we may feast on Christ in the same way that the angels do, by a perfect union in sanctifying grace and by the beatific vision. How many there are, not only throughout the world, but perhaps even here today, who think they can get through the desert of life without this heavenly sacrament, the bread of angels. They languish in their misery, in their weakness, and they find no peace only because they refuse adamantly to give up their attachment to some sin and to come and receive Holy Communion. which is the source of strength and consolation in this life. It is for such people as they that the church obliges us to receive at least once a year during Easter season, from the first Sunday of Lent to Trinity Sunday here in America, Holy Communion at least once. What a sad law to have to oblige people to receive our Lord just once a year. But I pose a question to you for the end of this sermon. Can we be said to truly desire to be united to Christ in heaven by the beatific vision if we do not desire to be united to him first in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist? If you seldom come to Holy Communion because there's always something else, then to what degree do you want to be united to God in heaven? And will we be able to trudge along and persevere along the path of duty in the face of suffering without the bread of angels? Today, pray for those who haven't yet received their Easter duty, and pray for one another that your zeal, your desire for the bread of angels and Holy Communion may grow each and every day. Heart of Jesus, in the Blessed Sacrament, source of all consolation, have mercy on us. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.